everyone this morning. Thank you, Pastor Tay. Thank you, First Lady Faith, for the invitation. And it's just so honored to be with you, saints, this morning. Pastor Tay and I have. I love your pastor, you guys. I love your pastor. We serve on the same administrative council. And but you know, this morning he asked me to talk on this topic. And a survey was conducted, and there were two topics that were gathered that people said that they would rather talk about than money. Alright? And the list included death and funerals, politics, sex and relationships, family drama, personal insecurities, and embarrassing personal stories. So people say, I'd rather talk about any one of those except money. And so you know I'm the pastor because he asked me to talk on money. Come on, somebody. This topic is financial generosity. Somebody say financial generosity. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's what I'm saying. We'll get into it. I want to thank my sister Vicky for reading the word of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. This is the day that you have made. We want to rejoice and be glad in it because you are God and your love endures forever. Father, we come before you this morning, this Sunday morning, and we declare we are not interested in hearing from a man. But God, I want to hear from you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And you alone are the words of eternal life. And so, God, we want those words this morning. Because we want to live and truly live in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I like how the NIV translates this passage. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. So I'm just going to, if you have NIV, we'll break down the NIV a little bit. Let's go to verse 17. Verse 17 says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Put number one is this, if you're taking notes, put number one is the Lord richly provides. Somebody say the Lord richly provides.
You don't even have to remember it. You just have to read it. Awesome.
The Lord richly provides. If we look at the text, it says, God richly provides us with everything. So I don't know what your background in church is. I don't know if you grew up in church. I don't know if you became a Christian later. So the one thing that we have to do with this world is we got to wrestle. Somebody say we got to wrestle. So I don't know if you have a student in the Old Testament. His name is Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God, and after the wrestling, he was transformed. You see, the reason why Christians don't seem to be like Christians is because they don't bother to wrestle. And when we're wrestling with the Lord, we got over our heart and our mind. Someone say, we got over our mind. And so when we look at the phrase, God richly provides us with everything, which is right there in verse 17, either this is the truth or it's a lie. It's either this is the truth or it's a lie. Now, listen, I know those of you who grew up in church, those of you who went to maybe Bible college or school, like, of course this is the truth. But is it though? I'll contend with you, brothers and sisters, that most people who live in Chicago and in the world, they're saying that they are Christians, but their lives, they act like they're atheists. At least the atheists admit that they're atheists. So many people, oh, did I offend somebody in here? Yeah, now we're wrestling. Oh, come to glory. Who wrestled in high school? Who wrestled as a kid? Come on, I mean, come on. We know what wrestling feels like. There's tension. Someone say there's tension. There's tension, and after tension, there's transformation. Who wants transformation? I'm in? Okay, I'm in. Just by myself. My generosity. Someone said generosity. The biblical call to generosity begins at the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become what? Rich. You are watching here. We are rich. And either we say amen, or we call God a liar. Either we say yes, or we are really rich, or we call God a liar. No, Jesus, you didn't make me rich. Oh, yes, Jesus, you call me rich. Oh, my God, I have a sin between rich and terrible things, but you call me rich. So we're at the Westside Church, and I promise you, at the end of Westside, there is what? Transformation. But we're going to stay on the fight. The question is not whether you are rich. The Spouse says that in Christ, we all become rich. So the question is, here's my question, what are you rich in? What are you rich in? Some of you guys, God gave you just beautiful gifts and talents. My brother John up here leads me straight into the presence of God. I'm sorry when I seem so wrong. That's because I don't know a thing about y'all. Because he brought me into the presence of God. I was saying with all my life, I don't get David up in here. You can read that in 2 Samuel, wherever that's at. But you know what I'm saying? Some of you have artistic gifts. Some of you have visual gifts. Some of you have textile gifts. Some of you have electronic gifts where you have fine water skills. Some of you guys have great oratory gifts. Some of us have really beautiful smiles. They're clearly writing someone's day. What are you rich in? What are you rich in? I want to talk about this a little bit later, but here's the temptation. Because everybody's rich. Okay? If you don't believe that, you can wrestle with this later. But that's the premise of the world, because that's what the world said. Okay, I'm just here to talk about the book. The temptation is to believe, listen, that you earned your riches. The temptation is to believe that you earned your riches. I'm going to say, don't believe that lie. Don't believe that lie. Did I earn my height? Yeah. I'm 6'3". Did I earn it? My parents are here. I'm moving on my 6 foot. How did I get to 6'3"? Did I earn this? You see me boasting? You're short, bro. You're short, bitch. I'm tall. But yet, we boast our riches even though what? We didn't earn it. You didn't earn it? It's okay. Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, if you're taking notes, verse 11. 9:11, there you go. And Ecclesiastes 9:11 and 12 says this. Again, this is. Some say it's Solomon, the richest, wisest, okay? He's more rich than you. He's prettier than you, okay? He's wiser than you, okay? He had more wives than you, okay? He was born, so he took a half a year and just planned forests, you know? Okay? He was born, he wanted to do a party, so he's like, let's do a party for a year. You know? And he found feasting for a year, okay? This is Solomon. He says, again, I saw her under the sun. Listen to this. Oh, you have to listen. You read too. Listen, anyway, there you go. For this. So the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to the man of knowledge. But time and chance happen to them all. For man has not known his time. Like the fish that are taken on the net, and the bird that caught the snare, so the children of man are snared at any time when the sun falls upon them. Listen. He just said, I ain't rich because I did it. But yet America would say, you did it. Or you went to college and you graduated, you did it. Or you have money in your bank account that you'll figure out, what kind of vacation I'm going to go on. Listen, you did it. That's what culture would tell you. And we're going to pray against that for the singles. God bless you, singles. We're going to pray against the laws. Number two is we pray against the laws and the culture. The culture says, you do it. America's dream is pull yourself up there, and my parents are immigrants. Anybody know who their parents are immigrants? But they came to this country to pull themselves up there by the bootstraps and do something for their kids. Who did it? Does God wish them for God or does he not? I'm going to leave this question up. You can answer that for yourselves. Let's go to the next verse because I'm running out of time. Verse 18. Sorry. I should stop talking about time because God's generous. Someone say generous. To be generous and long to share. Paul will tell us this for 10 years. Paul will tell us generosity is characteristic of those who have put their hope in God. Generosity is characteristic of those who put their hope in God. We want to get that because verse 17 said, commandments are written because we are not to be able not to put their hope in wealth, but those who but put their hope in God. And those hope is that two times. So the those who hope in God, generosity is a characteristic of them. Listen, we are generous because God has been generous to us first. Amen? We can love because what? God first loved us. So generosity is not about generating something that's inside of us to do our work, but it's about passing on what has been given to us. You know what I'm saying? Right? A few words. Okay, you can talk back to me because it actually encourages me. Okay, so we love because he first loved us. Everything that I have been given, everything that I have was given to me first. Everything that I have was given to me first. Listen, our flesh and our culture battles against this truth. Right? Inheritance of Adam and Eve who ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the man would say, no, 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 let's just find the truth. Let's just find the truth. But is the word of God true? Everything, is it true that everything that I have was given to me first? There's a free thing out there called money. I hope you guys say it's M-U-L-L-Y. It's an amazing film. I'll give you a link to Pastor Tim. You guys can watch it. If you have Amazon Prime, it's on there for free. But it's about a young man who grew up in Kenya, okay? In a poor in Kenya. And as a little boy, his parents abandoned him with his younger brothers. So he woke up one morning, his parents were gone, his brothers were gone, and he was abandoned. He was really begging, every day begging for food. And when he was a young teenager, he heard this gospel preacher came into his town. He said, come into this building. He found this man who heard the gospel. He said, work hard and God will do impossible things for you. So he believed in the word of God. He walked 3 days barefoot, hungry, to again, Nairobi. This is Kenya, okay? He walked in Nairobi, which is the capital city. He knocked on these doors of the richest neighborhoods, and then someone took him in. I ain't got time to tell a story because you got to watch the movie, but I'm here to promote money. So he could have hit a millionaire. Wife, 8 kids. He threw parties. He was the supplier of oil for all of Western Kenya. And then God asked him to sell everything he had and serve the poor. And he raised Kenyan street children. He brought them into his home. And then he built more structures. When that overflowed, he took a retirement area. Anyway, it's like the story of the rich young man who Jesus come from his self you had, and he's really sad because he loved his great riches. This guy actually sold it out. Everything that I have was given to me first. And no one would have done that if he didn't really believe God gave it to him. Here's our problem as Americans. Money actually was an advantage that he grew up poor. Because he realized he didn't do it. There's no way you could write a book that's a New York bestseller from rags to riches. You know that kind of stuff sells in America, right? Because we think we can do something. But last time I checked again, Ecclesiastes said the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Amen? Okay, I'll just amen by myself. It's okay. I'm sorry I didn't share this, but if you're taking notes, please read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 7. I'm going to try to run it slow. I know I talk fast because I want to get so much. I want to go ahead and get right in. But 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. Listen to this. If you have your Bibles, you can open up one of your apps on your phone. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their needs, as I can testify, and beyond their means,
you look and you see that you excel. Someone say excel. Excel in this act of grace also. It's talking about giving. You see, this, the churches in Macedonia, they were poor, but they waiting back for the opportunity to be generous to the saints. Right? They begged earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints in another region of the world here.
I mean, I can say more about that, but I ain't got time.
What I want us to think about, I want us to be people who are living with our mind. Why would they beg? Why would poor people beg for the favor of taking part in giving for the relief of the saints in another part of the world? Why? Why would they do that? You see, that's not an American thing. If someone's begging,
I don't know if you've ever been poor, okay? Maybe some of you guys are in poverty right now. I'm so glad you're here because you're teaching the rest of us how to trust in God, okay?
But I don't know if you've ever been poor, but if you're real poor, you only have two nickels in your pocket to rub against each other and somebody asks you for money? What? You have some money?
You're not rich.
Because the Bible calls you rich. Right? I'm not talking about prosperity. Those bills are
So what's the thought? The thought is, I have too little. I have too little. You know someone who said, I have too little? My man Gideon, Judges chapter 6 and 7. Gideon had an army of 32,000, which might sound like a lot, 32,000, but he was going to have an army about 10 times as large as that. Alright? So he's got 32,000 on him, it's 10-1. Okay? Imagine you're playing basketball, and it's just you, and you're playing 10 other people, okay? It's a gossip. Gideon probably prayed, God, I have too few soldiers. You know what God said? You got too many. He said, what? I'm sorry, I thought you said, yeah, I had too many. Is that? Yeah, that's what I said. He said, tell everybody who's afraid, go home. 22,000, more than two-thirds left, and they went home. He was left with 10,000. God's like, Gideon's like, oh, we're going to find out, because, okay, he said, like, the strong man's ready to die, because 10,000 left. In the Gold Coast, in a penthouse, in the Gold Coast, and now that's not the fanciest. Maybe I live in a penthouse right downtown, Lakeview East, whatever, not Lakeview East, Lakeshore East, or whatever, one of those fancy high-rises, right? One of those Oprah-type, right? If I live there, you know I'm born, right? I'm born, because I'm living in that spot where our Father, who is in heaven, come on, somebody. Your Father is the King. You see, we come on here who is in heaven because we don't think he won't help us out. Right? We think we're not his child. Or we don't think he has riches. But God, hallelujah, he's got both. And that's how the Lord's Prayer starts. That was actually. Alright, so what verse 18 says? There's four things I can see there. It says, do good. Right? Do good. It says, commanding to do good. Do good, what does that mean? Doing good is like using your talents and your services. Can you work a computer? Yes. Help a brother out and do AV. Right? Use your talents and your services. So you might not have room, but there's something that you can do. Maybe you're just a really good resume writer. It just comes easy to you. Someone can do different jobs. Help someone write their resume. Do good. Second thing, it says be rich. In good deeds. Be rich in good deeds. What does it take for you to do an abundance of good deeds? Time. Somebody say time. Time. Listen, we all have different amounts of money in our banks, but we all have 24 hours in a day. Amen? And we all can give our time. Here's the thing. Satan doesn't want you to give your time away. He wants you to live your time for you. God says, no, be generous with your time. Speaking of generous, the third thing says, be generous. That's your money. When I was dating, it didn't matter. Any opportunity for me to buy something for my girlfriend or my fiance, I wanted to take it. You ever been in love? Anything, it didn't matter. You would buy ridiculous stuff, but you would never buy it for yourself. Yes, I have bought a $4, 12-ounce bottle of water because my girl was thirsty. Right? When you love, you don't go do it. Right? And we're talking about this in just a second. I don't know about that in a second. Israel have families? Does Israel have families? Okay. One man or one of you two could be the one or the man can cook. Someone can fill it out in the kitchen, okay? Because otherwise, you just eat takeout. Someone can fill it out in the kitchen. And guess what? There's some hungry souls in here that don't know how to cook. Okay? So, show hospitality. Go back to over. You know, I'm exhausted. I have a 1 hour and a 3 hour. We have a 1 hour and a 3 hour. I'm tired. Okay? And then I sit over. I know it sounds crazy. But when I see this kind of house, they just start like playing with kids. Why? Because they don't got kids to play with. Think about that. Let that blow your mind for a hot second. First of all, if you say you go with kids, that means you ain't got kids. Okay, I'm sorry. If you go with kids, you don't have kids. Okay, so it's okay. It's okay. Just let your singles know. Okay. But the thing is, the singles don't get to participate in that because they don't have kids. It is not their own. A child to bless one another. That's the biblical picture of hospitality. Yo, come over, Mike. Both of us have families. I mean, well, we got kids. How do you know we'll cook a pot of food? And it's a real record, so we'll probably eat more shit anyway. You can put that on the plate now. You can put all of eight of my family members with me right now. When we 8 years get together and eat, you have to put out like 4 or 5 more plates. At least, okay? At least. I'm going to cook them, okay? So, show hospitality. If you're a single who's going to a laundry room and you want to watch your guy at home, come over. Do you want a new place? Right? Show hospitality. This is radical biblical generosity. We're going to make people scratch their head. Why are we doing this? And then give them an opportunity to share the whole thing about what you have inside yourself is that you don't understand. You think I'm being generous. No, God's been generous to me first. Let me tell you about his generosity. Because he sent his only son. He didn't have multiple. He sent his only son to die for me. And you know the preciousness of his blood that which he paid for the Holocaust and my sin? I could never pay. I could never pay. And it took my place. He understood. I was dead. I was dead. I was in the ocean. And God chose me. I didn't do anything to drown. He picked me. He lavished his love on me. How can I not be generous to the people that he loves? How can I not? Whether or not in the church. Well, I said it. Whether or not in the church. So practice hospitality on yourselves. And once you have a good start starting on your neighbors. And whether or not they become a Christian. I just said it. Whether or not they become a Christian because your love to them gives God glory. Period. That's it. We live for God's glory. Last word, verse 19. Someone say amen. Thank God, it's the last word. In this way, they are a treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Someone say coming age. Coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Point of things is true life is found in storing up eternal treasures. Someone say eternal treasures. True life is found in storing up eternal treasures. Matthew 6:19-21, this should be every American's coffee cup person. Nobody wants it because everybody wants to store treasures on earth. But Matthew 6:19 says this: do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Some of y'all are wondering, man, I'm just struggling with this Christianity thing. I'm just struggling. Mike, I can't get a hold of it. I want to do my quiet times, but I can't do my quiet times. And as we talk, I won't, by the way, if it just happened to somebody said that to you, I won't say what I'm about to say as the first thing, okay, man, work yourself through it, okay, but once you get to that point, you're like, yeah, just, how's your level of generosity? I don't want to judge you, okay, because I struggle with it too. How's your level of generosity? Well, what you mean, Mike? You know, like, how do you spend your time? How do you spend your talents? How do you spend your money? You know, my son Noah plays volleyball at a club volleyball. And I was at a club volleyball game son is playing a game. He's on his phone tracking another game. Another sports game. It was like a basketball game. And I looked over to him because I was like, I mean, I'm not saying anything, okay? I'm not saying anything. But you know what? I'm going to look at you and I'm going to look at you. And I was like, you know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I do a little sports gambling. Just outside. Not a whole lot. I'm not spending a ton of money. But just so I can get the, gamblers call it the, whatever. It's like something, I want a taste of just, I just want a taste of the action. Actually, that's what the word they use. I just want a little bit of the action. This dad, I don't know what a taste of my action is for this person. It might be $20, $50 for him. He's still here! Over here! But where was his money in the moment? Right here. And he was distracted. Listen, the way of God, I love you. I wouldn't be here if I didn't love you and if I didn't love your pastor and first lady. I love you. There are so many Christians who are distracted because they put their money elsewhere. If you invest in Apple, you're going to buy some Apple products. If you buy a Hyundai car, guess what? You're going to start to see more Hyundai cars on the road because you got a Hyundai. Right? Okay, right? If you whatever you pay for, your mind starts thinking about it. So listen, generosity, giving money, God don't want no money. I just told you he took a little piece at your little apple and he fed 5,000, 10,000 people with it. He don't want no money. But you know what God wants? You know what I'm about to say? He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. And where your treasure is, where your time is, where your talents are, where your money is, that's where your heart is. So encourage one another. I am trying to say judge one another. Because we are full up in here if we say we got this down. If you say I got biblical generosity down, like I said, Pastor Mary, this is for somebody else. This is for that. Mm-hmm, she ain't here, so she better catch the recording. I'm going to tell her. I'm just going to send it to her. No subject line, no nothing. I'm just sending her the link. No. That means it's for us. That's for us. Jim Miller was a missionary. He said this. He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm not a fool who gives what I can't keep to gain what I can't lose. That, you know, he got that from Jesus. Because Jesus said, Jesus says, what profit a woman or a man if she or he gains the whole world, yet lose his soul. I recommend to you this book. Super small book. It's called The Treasure Principle. Okay? Small book, big margins. So, when I read it, I'm like, I'm on page 60. Oh, I'm such a good reader. Okay? So, if you need encouragement in reading, small book. Treasure Principle. But he, in it, this author, he says this. Let's tell a story. And then I'm done. I promise. So, imagine where we are. Listen, this is American Civil War. Imagine where we are at the end of the Civil War. You're not only a South, but you're a Northerner. You plan to move home as soon as the war is over. While in the South, you've accumulated lots of Confederate currency. Now, suppose we know the fact that the war is imminent, and the end is imminent. What will you do with your Confederate money? If you're smart, there's only one answer. You should immediately cash in your Confederate currency for U.S. currency. The only money that will have value once the war is over. Keep all your Confederate currency to meet your short-term needs. Anybody else say this? Earth's, listen, church. Earth's currency will become worthless when Christ returns. Or when you die, whichever comes first. And either event could happen at any time. That's in the Treasure Principle. And he says, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. How do you do this? How do we send it on ahead? We you do it in view of God's mercy. Again, in view of God's generosity to you. Then you can open up. It's not about, listen, I love your pastor. He's not trying to make his name great. Nor is he trying to make the name of his church great. He could care less. Human faith, they want the kingdom of God to come in Chicago. I love his spirit. Finances.